Good morning. It's good to see you all here on another beautiful Lord's Day that our Creator has given us to come out here and do as we have been instructed by the New Testament Scriptures to gather in one place in the Lord's house, men, women, and children of all ages, to hear another portion of God's Word that we may be edified and that we would know more and more about God's will for us. This morning I'd like to speak on a subject that we should all, of course, keep in our minds. It's a story about King Jehoiakim back in the days of Judah, in their dark days back then. What he did when he heard the word of the Lord preached to him. Entitled it, Jehoiakim Cuts and Burns the Word. The text comes from Jeremiah, the 36th chapter, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah said according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jemariah, the son of Shaphan, the tribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. And down in verse 21 and 23, so the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and took it out of Elishama's, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood before the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Here we have an instance of a situation where Jeremiah, the prophet, had more than one time over the years of his ministry warned the people of Judah and the people of Israel to repent. The Lord was angry with their evil ways, and that they needed to repent and turn back to the Lord, or they would suffer the consequences. God would bring His wrath and His fury upon His chosen people for turning their back on Him. And here we have an instance where there was an ungodly king, after he heard the word of the Lord, cut the word of God to pieces and burned them, giving no respect for them. This morning we're going to speak a little bit about this story and how it has a modern application for us as Christians living in this world today. But before we do, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer. Won't you humble yourselves as the one selected leads us in a word of prayer. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, was one of the greatest prophets during Judah's darkest days. He was a heartbroken prophet with a heartbroken message. He often desired to resign and give up on his duties as the Lord's prophet because his messages were harsh and bitter to its hearers. His messages of condemnation were always filled, of course, with messages of hope. Repent and God will save you, was his message. Before their Babylonian captivity, the nation of Judah had become exceedingly wicked. They became immoral, dishonest in their dealings with one another. They became gross idolaters. They perverted the worship of the true God and gave themselves over to spiritual and moral decay. God had sent many prophets to turn his people back to him over the years, and like some of the others, Jeremiah prophesied the doom of Jerusalem and Judah by the Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah faithfully did the Lord's will and proclaimed God's condemnation of their rebellion and sin for 40 years, and he was opposed, beaten, isolated, and imprisoned for his teaching. We know in similar fashion that God had sent his own Son to this world of sin to do the same thing. God gave man, Jew and Gentile alike, one last chance to escape the final destruction and total separation from God, which we know will happen at Judgment Day. Jesus faithfully carried out his Father's will by suffering persecution and rebuke, isolation, ridicule, denial, false accusations, physical and mental abuse. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, and he shed his blood for you and me. In like manner, Jesus did the Lord's will just as Jeremiah did, and that was to bring a message to a lost and dying nation, a lost and dying people. Jeremiah's message we find in the text and in his whole book is very clear. Surrender to God, surrender to his will, and they would escape destruction. In Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24, the Bible says, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." The only way their destruction could be prevented was by repentance. We read that the people of Judah did not repent, and their attitude can be summed up in the actions, in the attitude of the King Jehoiakim. It is interesting to note here that King Jehoiakim was the son of the great King Josiah of Judah. He was the one, remember, who tore down all the idols and all the worship groves that and brought his people back to God. The very next generation turned away from God. So even with God-fearing parents who have instructed and taught and brought their children up in the house of the Lord, the next generation can certainly go astray. Jehoiakim cuts and burns the Word of God. This message this morning certainly has an application with what we do with the Word of God today. In the text, we find here that Jeremiah is commanded by the Lord to write the prophecies of doom and warnings against Judah. God's purpose for the writing was not to anger them, but to save them, because we know God has a loving heart, and he wishes all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Baruch, Jeremiah's servant, was directed to write the words as Jeremiah dictated them by the Holy Spirit. And after Baruch wrote the words, he was commanded by Jeremiah to go and read them in the temple. And he did as he was instructed. He did it twice. A certain man by the name of Micaiah hears the reading of Baruch and then goes to the king's house and tells the princes and nobles what he had heard. And then the princes and nobles sent for this Jeremiah servant to hear the words of Jeremiah for themselves. They react with fear and insist that the king hear these same words that they heard. They recognized that danger might come to Baruch and Jeremiah and tell them to go and hide. And when King Jehoiakim hears of the writing, he, of course, commands it to be read to him. Note that when his father Josiah heard that the high priest found the word of God in the temple, he commanded those words to be read to him. And, of course, he heard the word of the Lord that was shut up for a while. He heard it with a humble and contrite heart, and he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and covered himself with ash. And his actions, his actions and his attitude certainly was a great role model to the people. And we find that the people under Josiah's reign repented of their sins and they returned to the Lord. But his son Jehoiakim, after he heard the writings that were read to him, he acted in a total different manner. And after reading of three or four columns, this ungodly king took a knife and cut up that scroll and threw it into the fire. And we find that a few men tried to stop the king, but of course the king did as he was pleased. There was no remorse or repentance after hearing the word of God here. Jeremiah 36 and 24, "Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words." The king tries to arrest Baruch and Jeremiah, but the Lord protects them, nor any of his servants that heard God in his great long-suffering and love gave them all another chance. God instructs Jeremiah to write another roll with the former words, and then he added additional words of warning to this godless king Jehoiakim. In Jeremiah 36, starting in verse 28, "Take thee again another roll, and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, and they hearken not." These people were God's chosen people. He warned them many, many times over many, many years. God, in his great infinite love and wisdom, and wish that his chosen people would return to him, keeps giving them chances. God today certainly is holding back his wrath, is very patient with us, Christians, is patient with those that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, giving man more and more and more chances, just as he gave these individuals here by writing another scroll and making an additional warning to the this godless king Jehoiakim. He certainly does that with us today, giving us more and more time to make that great decision, to make that great confession of Jesus Christ, and to repent of our sins and confess him before men and be baptized for the remission of sins so that we may save our sinning souls. Lessons that we can get from this incident are very many. The New Testament is lined with many, many messages of warnings and doom from John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles. And the purpose is all the same, to turn people from their sins. In Luke 13, 1 through 5, the Bible says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." God is long-suffering, but eventually his patience will end with us, will end with man, and a certain destruction will come. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The spirit of Jehoiakim is still alive and well today. Even though that happened thousands of years ago, the cutting and burning of God's word continues to go on even today in many shapes and forms. When people reject plain Bible teaching for all practical purposes, they are cutting and burning the word of God. Various conditions of salvation are cut and burned. For example, baptism. For some unknown reason, many people don't want baptism as part of the plan of God for one to be saved. If they do, they change it to pouring or sprinkling. Jesus made immersion necessary in Mark 16:16. Due to pride, many people don't want to make that public confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They instead want to make some confession as to how wonderful they feel, how they feel all tingly inside. Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." The churches of Christ have always preached to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, calling Bible things by Bible names. It's a cute phrase, but it is very true. We take the Bible for what it is, especially the New Testament is the perfect law of liberty, a law that we are to use and abide by and to follow and obey. And certainly we have no right, no God-given right, no right whatsoever to take it away, to change it or to cut it or change it. But we should use it all to the glory of God and to further God's will, and that is to that all men may come to Him and come to the knowledge of the truth, that would hear His Son and obey His Son and do His will and bring many lost unto Him before time shall be no more. Some Christians cut out passages of Scripture and burn them. Are we any better than King Jehoiakim if we refuse to submit to various requirements of the Lord? The New Testament Scriptures are our law. It's our perfect law of liberty, as I said. It is what we need to live right, live our lives right. It's our rule book, so to speak. It's what we need to follow and give great due respect for. Items of worship today are removed and substitutions are made with items that are foreign to the Word of God. Many items of worship are just removed altogether, and maybe no substitutions are made for them. Regardless, when items of worship to our holy God are removed or changed, we are cutting up the Word of God and burning it before our God. Multiple loaves, multiple cups, choirs, musical instruments, dividing the assemblies into classes, are all examples of cutting out passages of Scripture and burning them. God has given us instruction on how we ought to assemble. Many today ignore that instruction. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. God's instruction on marriage is often ignored, cut and burned. Ephesians 5:22-25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. God's instruction to children is often ignored by certain young people. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God's instruction on modesty is often ignored. 1 Timothy 2:9-10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. With our intelligence and our humble mind and heart, this scripture really is not written for exclusively women. It is written for men as well. God's instruction on covetousness and putting the kingdom first has no place in the lives of many. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Some have cut and burned certain requirements of God and has become so hardened in their hearts that they will never change. Yes, there is a point of no return when our hearts and minds have decided to turn our back on the Word of God, to turn our back on the great hope of everlasting life that is promised to us through Jesus Christ. When we have ignored God's Word and turned our back on Him long enough, our heart will become hardened. And it basically, we are at the point of no return. It requires a deep change of mind and heart and a deep repentance, or we will perish. Their consciences, those that have hardened hearts, they're seared with a hot iron. There's not much that will awaken them, but God does hold out and is holding back the hands of time to even welcome those people back to Him. Consider the attitude of King Josiah, the father of this king, ungodly King Jehoiakim, when the word of God was read to him after his high priest found it in the temple. We find words of that in 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, verses 11 through 13. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, "Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." King Josiah here displayed a great godly fear of the Lord, a reverential fear of the Lord God, just as we should. God appreciated his humble attitude in the same chapter, verses 19 through 20. "Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. We should, of course, always have a tender mind and a tender heart. The New Testament scriptures are filled with references that we should humble ourselves before our God, that we should humble ourselves before our Creator. It is only with a contrite heart and a humble spirit that the Lord looks favorably upon us. We know that when we have tender hearts and humble ourselves before our God, that we are living a life that is in submission to Him. He wishes us to know that He is the Lord, and that we would basically be without hope and be without life without Him. He created us in His image, and of course His will is that we would give respect and humble ourselves before our Creator and worship Him all the days of our life. Let us have the tender hearts towards the word of the Lord. In Isaiah 57, in verse 15, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." There's nothing better to see a calm and peaceful spirit, one that is humble, one that is contrite, one that is not lofty or full of pride, but is full of love. As God has given us and shown us love, that is the type of characteristics that should be of Christians. We should always remember that even though this world and the things that are in this world that would try to cause us to do things that are contrary to the Scriptures, and we should realize that the things of this world sometimes tempt us to have attitudes contrary to this humble and contrite spirit. Let us remember what Jesus did for us, how he humbled himself, and how he did not go against, or I should say, prevent the things that were to happen to him. That he went to the cross and suffered for us with a humble and loving spirit, and even prayed for those that were at the foot of his cross, nailing him to that cross, and laughing at him and rebuking him when he was hanging there on the tree. He prayed for them. That is the same humble and contrite spirit, looking to please God by the way we live and the way we think and the way that we treat others. Isaiah 62, verse 2, "For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." We should have such respect for the word of God that as we read it, as we contemplate it, as we think about it, we should tremble at that word. It is powerful. It will save us, and it will lead us in the right way. We should have such respect for the Word of God that we should always desire to read it and teach others about it, because it does have the power to save here in this life and in the world to come. Psalms 51 and 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Certainly, this godless king, Jehoiakim, had a proud and lofty spirit. He felt that he didn't need the words of God to be spoken to him. He didn't believe the doom and the consequences that would come because of their evil ways. He felt that he didn't need God, and that those things would not come to pass because he had no respect for the word of God since. And he ripped it up, or he cut it up, and he burned it, not giving it a second thought. Certainly, whenever we look to change the Word of God or ignore it in a similar fashion, we do symbolically cut the Word and burn it. We should allow the Word, all the Word, to be written on the tables of our heart, as we've been instructed to. Certainly, when we do not have a Bible in our hands or with us, when we are about in this world, if the word of the Lord is written on the tables of our heart, we are ready and able to share that with others that need that help. Psalms 119 and verse 120, "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." This certainly is an attitude that we all should have for our Lord, knowing that he is a loving God, and that he gave his son that we all might be saved, and he gave his word for us to read and know and understand. Certainly with all that, knowing that God loves us, we should again have a reverential fear for God, our Creator. Our flesh should tremble when we think about it, and we will know that that great and terrible day of the Lord will come, and certainly we do not wish to be on the consequential side of those things that happen at that day. We wish to be on those the side of being rewarded for our efforts and for our attitudes and the way we've lived our life here upon the earth. We certainly need to have the humble attitude of the publican. In Luke 18, starting in verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift as so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." God, wishes that we all be humble spirits, that we all do not have an ounce of worldly pride in ourselves that would keep us from that great submission to him. He all wishes us all to look to him for everything, look to him for our life, our health, our things that we need in this life, and of course the things beyond this life, and that we need to look to him with humble hearts, acknowledging him and giving praise and glory and honor to him, and worship him in spirit and in truth as he has is instructed us to do, and that we should follow his words all the days of our lives and be a humble spirit and not let the things of this world take us away from that humbleness of heart that we all know that we must have in our lives. Let us lament, let us mourn, and let us weep because of our sins. James 4, 8 through 10, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It is great to be a humble person. There's nothing more beautiful in the world to see individuals, to see Christians that despite of all the evil and the bad that's around them, to see a humble answer in response to evil or aggression towards them. There's nothing more beautiful than to see a humble Christian in this world. Humbleness of mind and spirit is a beautiful thing. Jesus Christ was humble, and we should be humble as well in all facets of our lives. King Jehoiakim and his servants, we find, had no fear when the word of God was read to them in verse 24 of chapter 36. We've read it before. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. We know of many instances in the Old Testament. King Nebuchadnezzar brings to mind one of them, that were warned. The word of God was brought to them, was read to them. They heard the warnings of the Lord to repent of their ways, to repent of their evil doings, and turn to God. They did not, and what was promised as the consequence that would come upon them did happen. These individuals had no fear of the word of God. And it's interesting to note that it was just one generation later, after King Josiah. It's not told to us, but certainly we can surmise that the great King Josiah feared God, and a great role model that he was for his people. For he turned all his people in his kingdom turned to God like he did, turned back to him and obeyed God. We know it doesn't tell us, but we know that he taught his son Jehoiakim to do the same thing, to be humble, to obey the Lord, respect the Lord, and worship the Lord as he has showed us how and showed them how. King Josiah had great fear for the word of God, and I'm sure that he taught his son the same thing. But just one generation later, apathy came in. I guess the pride of the position that he had, taking over as king of Judah, got to him. Worldly things, pride, the things of this world, can draw us away from that great faith very easily, and we need to guard against it. Since these individuals had no fear of God, they would experience the wrath of God, and of course they did. When we have heard, when we have hard and impenitent hearts, we are treasuring up the wrath of God. You really don't think of treasuring up consequences, treasuring up punishment. We always think when we use the word treasuring up that we put and lay up and store good things. But here this verse speaks volumes. Romans 2, verse 4 and 5. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. We have a will to do what we wish to do here upon this earth. God gave us a free will to obey or to disobey. God gave us the free will to follow him or follow Satan. God gave us the free will that we would hear the word of God and obey it, or not hear it and not obey it, or hear it and not obey it. Certainly we have that duty. It's our responsibility. It's all on our shoulders. What we're going to do with the word of God and what he has commanded us to do, we can hear it or not. We can have humble and contrite hearts, write those things, wonderful words of life on our hearts, and do our best in our life here to obey God or not. As man over time continues to do it his way, continues not to allow the word of God to have effect on them, their hearts become hardened. The last thing they think about is repenting of the sins and turning back to God. So what happens there is over time, they are treasuring up unto themselves the wrath of God. God is God loves everybody, but He hates the sin that we all do, and we need to reconcile ourselves against that wrath. And the only way we can do that is to turn to Jesus Christ and turn to the Word of God and obey it before it becomes everlasting too late. King Jehoiakim here was an evil leader. He was an evil and a bad role model. Some of his servants acted correctly at first when that scroll was read. However, they were influenced by their king to reject it. The king should have, like his father Josiah, reacted with a tender and contrite heart, but he didn't. If Jehoiakim had repented, he would have influenced his people, of course, to do the same thing. Even though Jehoiakim cut and burned the Word of God, it still remained. Evil people have always tried to suppress the Word of God. They've always tried to keep it from their people, but they will never succeed. God's Word will abide until the end of time. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Though men might try to cut and burn it literally or figuratively, it still remains. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 through 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The steps of salvation offered by Jesus Christ, your Savior, are found in the Gospels. The proper way to live your life as a child of God is found in the New Testament. What will you do? Will you cut and burn it? Or will you fear God and humbly submit to it? Though one might reject it, it is still the Word of God, and it will remain forever and ever. That is my lesson this morning of cutting and burning the Word of God. Certainly we would not look to go home and take our Bibles and cut them up and throw them in a fire. But we must realize that how we act in this world, how we obey or disobey the Word of God, what we do in our lives in relation to what the Word of God says, we could be cutting the Word of God and burning it and not even knowing it. Let us keep that in mind as we live our lives and do our best to follow the Word of God and to please God, living as humble servants of Jesus Christ. There be one, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.